Yeah. All right, we've officially been joined by our NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race winner today in today's Navy 250, Lane Riggs. Lane, congratulations on that win. It was exciting there at the end for sure. Take us through your vantage point of the race and ultimately that final move there to take the lead, to take home the checkered flag.
Yeah, the strategy was just so far over the place. Like, I felt like we were going to all either just kind of run it through or short pit, and ended up being short pit, pit at the stage, or just stay out in the pit again and short pit the next one. It was like, I just didn't know what was going on. I was so lost, and radio communication is very, very tough here. Pretty much if I would leave turn four all the way to turn 12, I couldn't hear anybody except my spotters back there, and they couldn't hear the people on the front stretch. So communication was definitely very tough and key, and I felt like Dylan did a good job trying to do the best he could with that, my crew chief. But overall, like, such a topsy-turvy race. I'd restart 17th, and then all of a sudden they'd all cycle, and I'd be up front. And it was tough for me to figure out, like, what my strategy needed to be. Do I need to just maintain my spot, save my tires, or do I need to try to get these spots back? Because at the end of it, we're just going to line up where we're at. But they did a pretty good job coaching me through all of that. And I feel like we were off on strategy at the very end when the 38 got by us, the 11 got by us, 42 even got by us, and I just had no rear tires left. I was cooked. So I was just planning on a top five finish, and then when the 11 hit the wall and bounced into the 38 and they wrecked, which I hated for Chandler, he really should have deserved to win that race. He had the better truck than me at the end of that one. I hate it for them and the 38 guys. They worked really hard as well. But just pretty much opened the door back up for a couple other guys that I feel like I was pretty equal with to race, and I just, the whole last lap was a blur for me. I really need to go back and watch the replay to see what happened, but I was just driving with my heart, not my brain.
All right, we'll go ahead and take some questions. If you have a question, go ahead and raise your hand. I'll work to get a mic to you. I'm going to start up front with Zach and then make our way to Matt.
Zach Sterniel, NASCAR.com. Lane, congratulations. What was going through your mind in that last chicane with Tyler missing it on entry there, and what did you experience racing him?
Yeah, he's very talented race car driver. I was really proud of him. Me and him talk sometimes. I try to give him some pointers. He's a really good kid, and I say kid, we're not that much difference in age, but he's a really good guy. And, you know, at the end of the race right there, I knew he was going for his first win, and I wasn't going to dive to his left. I just pulled out left to try to scare him to miss the corner, and he did just that. And I think that my experience and just kind of being in that second-place position, you can always kind of be the intimidator to people that's in front, and I feel like I played that to my advantage, especially with the spotters. Like, there were so many sections that we had no spotters today. It was all off mirrors. So my goal was just he'd look over in the left-side mirror, know I was there, and either give me the bottom or miss the corner, and it worked out that way. But even so, if he would have won, it would have been a good win for him at a road course. But, yeah, like I said, those last laps, I don't even know what happened. I was just driving. Thanks.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. How dire was your fuel situation?
Pretty bad. We were going to be fine if it wasn't a green-white checkered finish. The last lap, I was running out. Pretty much all left-hand corners I go through, on exit I'd be full throttle and it would just be dead. I'd have to shake it around a little bit, get some fuel, and even down the backstretch, it was starting to run out on the straightaways. So, I mean, I did a little bit of a burnout, and going over to victory lane, I ran out. So it was pretty tight fuel window there, and that just goes, hats off to Dylan on the strategy at the end, trying to get us in the right place, make it on fuel. I feel like we've kind of – the road courses, it's tough for us in the trucks with the fuel mileage because you start to see fuel pressure drops because we have a mat style pickup system instead of just a hole. So when it'll start sloshing around, so we'll have 9 gallons left and it'll start having fuel pressure drops. So it's so hard to tell how long you can really go. But here, kind of like settled down under caution and really got there. So when it started sputtering, I knew it wasn't going to last long. So I knew when I took the white, I think I can get around one more time. And I was trying to save a little bit behind the 42 to race at the very end. And I feel like I just, like I said, my experience paid off there.
How do you, to that point, how do you simultaneously manage your fuel, manage your tires, and oh, by the way, also try to go get the lead and win the race.
It's so tough, and I feel like I didn't do a great job there managing my tires. Like I said, when Chandler got by me, the 11 got by me, they were definitely better. They had more rear tire under it. I really cooked my rears there at the end. And then managing fuel, it's tough to do both because when you're managing fuel, you need to be a little harder on your tires to keep your lap time up. So there's a trade-off there. I saved a good amount of fuel, which got me to the finish line, but I burnt my tires up in the progress. So we were kind of out of the game anyways. You had to use one or the other when those guys pitted, and it's just so hard to tell who's all going to pit, how far are you going to line back up. It was a very tough race for strategy just with the fact that you can't go a lap down when you pit. So, like I said, I thought that we didn't have the winning strategy. I had some luck on my side. I've lost a lot of races because I've been unlucky, so I'm going to take the lucky ones while I can get them. Thanks.
All right, Jerry, go ahead.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires.net. This is a historic win, obviously. And is that lost on you at all? The celebration and everything that's going on. I mean, what does this mean to you personally to get the 250th, America Navy celebration win that we probably will never come back here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is one for the history books. I really wanted to win here. I feel like I put the time and effort in the Ford Racing Simulator to do so. And I went out in the fan zone today, did a couple appearances, and I was trying to just talk to the people here and see how they felt. I was at the Ford stage, and I said, raise your hand if you've ever been to a NASCAR race. And I'd say 80% of the people if you've never been to a NASCAR race, 80% of the people raised their hand. And I think that we were able to come in here, get in front of an audience that doesn't see a lot of this racing or is not really super interested in it. They just came because it's local. And we put on a performance like that. I think they're going to be the people that tune in next week to see what the action's all about. But it's so cool to be here. So many of the people, America 250, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
And a follow-up, how long did it take you to come up with Lane Van Gisbergen?
Lane Van Rigsbergen.
Rigsbergen.
I said that privately after St. Pete. I said, if I went on another street course, I'm gonna say it in my win interview. But respect to Shane. He's definitely a better driver than me. If we were in equal trucks, he would have smoked me.
All right, John.
Perfect.
Jonathan Field, NASCAR Roundtable. To that point, I mean, you've kind of become a veteran in this series, I guess, in a way, and I just remember before you got that first win, you had so many times where you came so close, it seemed like you're just trying to put the piece together and everything. Tyler Reif, he's in that situation today. What would you say to him after a tough loss like that, just kind of that maybe you at that point would have wanted to have heard?
Yeah, I mean, the speed is there. If you have speed and you keep putting yourself in contention at the end of races, you're going to get wins. And my first year in 2024, we had speed and just things kept going wrong. I kept misstepping, just didn't have any experience to know when you get to race in situations, how to play that. And, he's a very new driver in this series, but he's obviously a very talented race car driver. Like I said, I talk to him sometimes and try to give him some pointers, and he's always been super nice to me and done a really good job in trying to learn and be better. So hats off to him. I hate I had to, quote-unquote, snooker him out of the win at the end. But even if he would have won, I would have finished second. I would have been really happy for him. Just got to keep digging, and if you got the speed and you keep being there at the end of those races, you're going to learn how to do it. Thanks.
All right. Go ahead.
Noah Reed, Kenny Wallace Media. I don't know how much, you can see from the driver's seat, but it was a really competitive and compelling race today. What did you think of the product from your perspective?
Yeah, with the strategy and leaders getting flipped back, having to drive through the field, it wasn't a follow-the-leader style race at all. It was a lot of movement from what I could see from my vantage point. I thought that was pretty entertaining. People staying out and actually able to hold on, and track position was very big. I took the initial lead and led to the end of the first stage, and when I got flipped back to, I think, 17th is where we started, my truck drove terrible. I was just like, uh-oh, I don't think I'm ever going to get back to the front at this race. Then ended up, they kept dropping like flies. I kept making a couple passes, a short pit, and I was back up front again. And it was a lot of moving around, very topsy-turvy race in how it played out. So hopefully from the fans and from TV, it was very enjoyable and something that would keep you on the edge of your seat the entire race. Thanks.
All right, any final questions? Okay, we'll go to Lee. Reed. Go ahead, Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio, and CatchFans.com. You think you're ready to make your Cup debut?
I think so. I've seen a lot of people that I race with that have moved on, and not quite had the statistical success that I've had. I feel like I'm ready whenever that time is right, like I've said in the past. I think we talked about that at Nashville, and I'm just waiting for when that time is and when I get that phone call.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. It sounded like there was discussion of possibly pitting before the overtime. How much of a was that were you determined to stay out at that point?
I knew that if we pitted, we wouldn't have had a shot to win. It would have been top 10, would have been good. It's just so hard to pass in a green, white, checkered finish. I was like, man, he said if it's dropping fuel pressure into caution, really try to make it run out of fuel. And it didn't. I'm like, I'm just going to gamble right here. And it was just barely enough. And he kind of left it up to me to make that gut decision. And I just knew that I feel like I saved a good amount to start that stage when I had the pretty big lead over the 88. There for a little while, I was running 60 to 70% throttle down the straightaway just trying to save fuel. And I'm like, man, I worked too hard to pit here at the end and give it all away. I want to gamble. Thank you.
We have a question over here, please.
Brock Beard from LastCar.info. You touched on St. Petersburg a moment ago. I'm curious, how similar was this race today to that? Was it similar, like a bigger version of St. Petersburg, or are they completely different experiences?
There were sections in the track that I feel like were similar. From turn 3 to turn 9 at St. Pete, kind of like older asphalt, rougher road. That was pretty similar in characteristics in the way you drive them. St. Pete has curbs, though, so you have to build in a lot of curb compliance, be able to recover, switch directions well. I feel like we focused on different aspects of the handling to be competitive here at this racetrack, and that's just going to the Ford Racing Simulator and getting help. Joey Hand, like I've mentioned before, he's helped us a lot, and even with some setup stuff some days, and he's like, well, we do this at sports cars, and we do this, and it's just really good to have people from all realms of racing come together to help us be fast on the Truck Series weekend. So thank you to all those guys. But I feel like just the basic street course, the way you have to be comfortable running close to curbs, curbs at St. Pete and jumping curbs there, and just being able to be comfortable running close to walls. Like, I feel like a lot of the people I would run around, like, I swear I would get an inch or two from the wall every single corner. And a lot of people I was with, they would be 6 inches to a foot off pretty much every corner. And I feel like my comfort level and spatial awareness lets me run closer more comfortably. And I think that definitely pays off for places like this that has those blind corners. Thanks.
All right, go ahead.
Brian Twining, Bleacher Nation for Brett Sports Media. First of all, congratulations, Lane. You guys held practice some 7-something hours before you guys held the race. So how do you think the truck transitioned during the race as opposed to what you planned for after what you saw during practice?
It was all pretty similar. I fought a lot of rear grip issues, just drive off the corners and just through the center of my rears would want to slide out from under me. So I was chasing the wheel a lot. But the biggest thing I noticed that came from the simulator that everybody else touched on was the new concrete section for between turns 12 to 15. It was like ice. And I mean, I got into the wall in qualifying. Several people killed their trucks through that section. It was just such an unexpected, because you run in the simulator expecting it to have this much grip, and then you end up having to adapt quickly to it. So we had really 4 different surface types. We had old bumpy asphalt, new smooth asphalt, old concrete, and new concrete. And it was like you had to know which section you were in, how to attack those corners, and just how to stay on top of what kind of surface you're on. The biggest one I noticed that changed for me was the final chicane that was all fresh asphalt through there. And in practice, it was really, really slick. And it's the only section that I felt like gained grip through the race. Everywhere else pretty much just stayed the same. So just adapting to that, I feel like I was able to drive in harder and make a little more speed through there when other guys weren't really taking advantage of that.
All right. Thanks. Final questions? All right, Lane, congratulations again.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all. Get some sleep tonight. I'm not going to get any.